Well.
Good evening. Motivational Monday is a great day. Monday is a great day that I have. And what motivates me is to have a great day. And I have had a very motivational day, and it was a great day. I have had a lot of fun, and it was very moving because I got up this morning on this nice early crisp morning, and I looked out my window and saw that there was ice on some carrots, and I said, okay, I'm going to get up today, and I am going to have a great day and be able to have some good friends over, which I have had, and it has been just an awesome day. And it's just been one of those great days. So with that, I am going to bring the other host on with me. Charlie, you there?
I'm here. How are you? How's it going?
Good. Yeah, I see you just put yourself on.
Absolutely.
Well, do you have any motivational Monday stories here?
No, I was pretty excited about what you said. I mean, especially for you, as our listeners know, you do have some physical limitations when it's snowing and icing out, and the fact that you woke up and you didn't let that interfere with you and you decided to have a positive attitude about it and make the most of it, have some great friends over and enjoy a great day, that pumps me up. I think that's amazing, and it's a lesson to all of us that someone like yourself has decided to live life to the fullest, and it's awesome. It's an inspiration to all of us. So I think I'm pretty motivated. I don't need much more than that.
Well, I understand that, and it's very motivating to know that we have a good time of year to be motivated as well, because it is around the holiday season.
Yes.
And
I have to
reiterate one of your comments that you had said on the last show,
mm-hmm.
was you absolutely love the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and it is one of those times of the years that the holidays do motivate you, and
I don't know, it's just something in the air. I just wish it was something we could bottle and just keep around year-round. I don't
exactly.
know, it's just people are nicer and just, well, if you stay out of the mall. Don't go to the mall. You know, it's like a running joke. Yeah, happiness everywhere. Except over there. That's the mall. Everybody's stressed out over there. No, but really, it's just, I don't know. It just seems like I, for some reason, just feel like I reconnect with old friends and friends I haven't heard from in a while. And once in a while, you get that random Christmas card from someone, and you're like, oh, my God, I haven't heard from this person in ages.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
and it just absolutely motivates me to get those cards from somebody who you haven't talked to in ages, or get a message somehow via the new technological ways that we have now, which is the computers.
That's true. Now, I'm thinking for some people, when you brought that up, I wonder if people are, you know how some people are considered purists. They're like, I have to send, quote unquote, a Christmas card where they have to put it in the mail. You know, write a note, put it in the mail, put a stamp on it to send it out. But then I noticed that some people are doing the electronic cards. Which do you prefer? You prefer the electronic ones, or you like the ones that come in the mail?
I like them both, but if I was to choose one, I would choose the old-fashioned snail mail, as I put it.
I think so, too. I don't know why, but I just... It must be from when I was a little kid, because I don't know if my listeners know, when I was a little girl, I was real close to one of my sisters, and she wound up coming abroad to work. So it was really exciting that every couple of days she'd send me something in the mail. It was either a card or a letter, and it was always something really neat, and I looked forward to it. So I think to this day I still have that, where I just get excited when I see the envelopes, you know, the plain envelopes, not the bills. I don't like the bills.
Right. I hear you there, because what motivates me the most is, I know we have talked about me in the past on the show, so I know a lot of the listeners know me
right.
from as Mountain Man, And yes, this is your host, Mountain Man.
Yeah,
with
Carly
as the co-host this evening. Reverse roles this evening.
Yes. I don't know if I can do the switchboard, though. I don't know if I want to touch that.
Nah, that's fine if you don't want to. That's fine. But far as being motivated, and I have talked about my life and having to have been in the foster care system and other systems, just being in one of those spots motivates me to want to make the contact with other people to be able to communicate what you're feeling, how you're feeling, and just having that that contact outside of your normal space motivates
me the most. You know, it's funny you mentioned that too, because the other thing with traditional cards is that I usually save them. And I think it's kind of cool. This has happened to me a couple of times over the years where I'll be rummaging through Christmas ornaments or stuff, and then all of a sudden a random card that I received like years ago pops up, and it's kind of cool to be able to relive that whole thing again where you get the message again. I mean, I've actually ran into a couple of Christmas cards from people that have passed on, so it's just to get that message again, and to, it's really cool. I mean, I was just so excited about it, and just to be able to relive the message. So something you can't really do with email as much because, you know, you kind of, all right, you save some of your email, but then you kind of just, you forget about it, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly, and you're right, Charlie. It is very motivative to have those Christmas or those special cards, as I put them, that you have tucked away into the spot, and then about a few weeks later, you open that drawer, and you see those spots.
Right, and it's kind of cool. I think it is. It just brings the whole memory back. And it's, I don't know. I think it's just, I don't really particularly care to be a pack rat, but there's something about something that someone hand wrote and put the time and effort into it that I like to save. And it's just kind of like, it's a message someone bothered to send me. And it's kind of neat to have it. Like you said, you relive the moment. And that's why I've always been one that I do like to save. And it's funny, I don't have like a particular place for them. They usually wind up with the Christmas ornaments or boxes with Christmas stuff. And that's why, I mean, I've had cards that have fallen out of when I'm looking for wrapping paper that someone has sent me. I remember one year I actually had one from my mother-in-law who passed away about 9 years ago. And it was really neat to see her handwriting again, to remember the particular time that she wrote it. So
exactly. And
yeah,
those
really
are the most motivated times that you can think of.
Right. And I think we have a caller.
I think we do. And I'm wondering if it's the guest for tonight's show.
I don't know. Why don't you check and see?
All right. Okay. Welcome to Diamond on the Rough with your host, Chris and Charlie. Who's this, please?
Hello.
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 Hello from sunny California. This is Naquam of Naquam's World.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, happy holidays to you both. I just tuned in for the first time, and I just wanted to come over to your spot and say hello to you and your co-host.
Well, that's so nice of you, a first-timer all the way from California. How exciting. How'd you run into our show?
Matter of fact, you came over to my show, I believe. And
I think I did, now that I remember.
it's been a little while. I put you down on my friends list, and I'm trying to get to all the shows that that come by and listen to my show. And I said, I got to come over to the Ordinary Woman show. You know, I want to see what's going on, and I was listening to your topic there about handmade cards and cards that are giving out at any occasion, you know, from the heart, you know.
Oh, yeah.
With technology today, we get too insensitive to the message and the thought. I'm like you guys. I keep a lot of cards that people give me. I mean, I have cards from my mother that also passed away, birthday cards, Christmas cards. And, you know, when you go through them and you look at them, you know, it brings back those memories and also lets you, it also verifies that, you know, someone does care, or people do care, you know?
It's very true. I mean, it's just a sentiment, and I know for me, because as sadly as much as we want to keep our dear ones in our heart and we don't forget them, memories can get fuzzy sometimes, and I realize that when I do read a handwritten card or, like you said, where your mom has passed, it kind of brings all that emotion back in a good way. Because
yes,
it just reminds you of all the love and care that they had for you. And it's really neat to be able to rekindle that. I know for me, like sharing it with my children, too, it's really neat to be able to show them a piece of someone that's no longer around that they might not remember and for them to get a gist of what that person was about. So, yeah, it's really neat to be able to have that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And on the other side of that coin is, you know, it's the person that's giving it. It's they're giving you a part of their creativity. You know,
mm-hmm.
a part of themselves. You know, it's not only thinking of you, it's basically what they feel about you.
Exactly, it is.
Right.
It's very true.
You know, we get so hung up in the generic emails or the cards already made for us. Everything is laid out for us in this society. And we tend to lose our creativity and our thoughtfulness amongst human beings. You know?
We do. I think you do. I mean, and I'm one that I'm very techie. Savvy and all that, and I think it does have its time. But some things, it's just, you know, like you're absolutely right. We get so caught up into it that we lose some of that stuff. And I think at the holidays, it's one of those places that we lose it where you do get the electronic.
Yes, definitely.
It's not the same. I mean, it's great. I love that you thought about me, but I want to have the excitement of tackling the mailman because he has something for me that is not a bill. And I'm like the queen of stickers, too. If I send the card out, I put, like, tons of stickers all on the outside, and it has to pertain to that person. So that's my other thing. My husband says I keep myself amused with the stickers because I need to.
That's your M.O.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, so if you see a piece of mail with a ton of stickers, it's usually me because I do. I like to get all the little stickers and try to kind of make your day, and I write little notes that the stickers are quote-unquote saying to make your day before you even open it.
Where are you guys located?
We're actually in Massachusetts. We're out here in the East Coast freezing up the tooties off because it's just so cold.
I understand.
You're out in sunny California.
Yeah, but I'm a Brooklynite. I'm from New York.
Oh, okay. So you come our way. You're a transplant. How long have you been in California?
5 years. 5 years. And you know, that's a whole different other ball game. Maybe you can put a topic on it. Maybe I'll put that topic on my show. It's a big difference out here. You know, for an East Coast person born and raised, and then come to the West Coast. And you know, the weather's great, but. Yeah, politically, and, you know, I can't get with it sometimes, but that's all.
Oh, I got you on that. It's way
different. It's holding back. I just wanted to shout out to you, Charlie, and your co-host. What's your name?
My name is Chris.
Chris. I just
know Chris the Mountain Man is over here. Now, you have to tell us, where's your show? When do you play? I've got to give you a little plug. What are your days?
Okay. The name of my show is The Quams World. It's a monthly. It's on every first Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my next
and
show will be
show.
January 2nd.
February? Mm-hmm. January 2nd.
January 2nd. I'm starting the New Year's off with an old school flavor.
Awesome. I do. I liked it. I remember listening. I was like, oh, I think I like it. I remember when the show's at. I'm going to have you on the show, so I'm going to really make sure we get you on. You can tell us a little about yourself and get shout out to our listeners and stuff. So you're going to be hearing from me. We're going to get together so I can have you on the show. It'd be awesome to have you as a guest.
Oh, that would be great. And same here. I like my show is about anything and everything, plus flavor in your ear and food for thought.
That's basically us, too. Well, thank you so much for calling us. I'm really excited. Have a great holiday and a happy new year. And I'll definitely listen to your show on January 2nd. But you'll be hearing from me before then so we can get a time down to have you come on down and get very familiar with us East Coast people over here.
Hey, how about that? Peace and blessings to you both.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
That is
and
so cool.
That is awesome. That is really great.
And that's what I like about Blog Talk, because there's so many other different shows. And it's kind of funny because people would think that it's competitive or whatever, but it's not. Because it's funny. There's so many different shows, but there's just different ideas and different genres. And that particular show, I loved it. I mean, like, it's on a Saturday, and the vibe and the feel and the diversity was really awesome. So I'm kind of glad that you called.
Exactly. I'm glad, too, because I know we have a very interesting guest this evening. that is going to be having you're going to be having on the show, and he's looks like he's done basketball and he's a rapper. Who's this? I wonder.
Oh, I know. Well, actually, this is one of my sons. He's one of the younger ones. Well, yeah, in the spectrum, he's one of the younger ones. He's a phenomenon. He's one of these freaks of nature. I know he's my son and all, but it's like I am in awe of this child because I can't even call him a child anymore because he's too mature. To me, he's always a child. He's just one of these phenomenons. I mean, I remember he was like 5 years old and he'd be running around. I mean, he could dribble a basketball like nobody's business, and it used to really bug people out because he was tiny. I mean, he was on top of the fact that he's a baby, he was small for his size at that time. So he was like, 5, 6, and 7, and people would think that he was younger than he really was. And
right.
What wind up happening is that he could, dribble the basketball again. He could cut on a dime. He was fast, like a little Tasmanian devil. Our house where our boys grew up, there was these crazy doorways that even as an adult, if you didn't watch where you were going, you could leave an elbow, you could leave a knee because of the cuts and angles.
Exactly.
This child could cut on a dime. I mean, he just was a phenomenon at any sport he tried, baseball, basketball, football, volleyball. Let's see, what else did he try?
It sounds like he's a man with many talents.
It is. I mean, and then to top of that, he's got the gift of gab. He's a real phenomenal public speaker. He's real good. He's very intelligent. He can write a paper like nobody's business. I mean, he's got a lot of talents, and he's got a lot to offer the world. And on top of that, he's just wicked funny. I mean, when him and his brothers get together, it's like you know you're going to be in for a good time because he's just and the thing is, he's real down to earth, that kind of person, and just a really good person. And so I was thinking that it would be a great time to have him on the show and talk a little bit about it. So if you want to.
Exactly, and it's the perfect time of the year. And I think
absolutely.
We're going to patch him through.
Yes.
Good evening. This is your host, Chris/Mountain Man, with Charlie. Who's this?
This is Jose.
Hey, Jose. How are you? Jose Jr.'s in the building. How's it going?
It's going all right. How's you guys doing?
We're not doing bad.
I know. It's Christmas. I can't complain. Not that it would help. And I got to be good because I don't want to be on Santa's naughty list because then I won't get any toys.
Well, how did you like our plug here?
I like it. You guys, sorry about that. No, you guys, I actually heard about, the show through my mom. And, she said you guys would give me a call. I wanted to say hi to you guys. I'm sorry about that. Just wanted to say hi, see how you guys were. Stop by.
Really?
So we're going to go right into it. One of the things that I wanted to share with our listeners now, Jose, you've been kind of in sports most of your life. Now, how did you get into sports? When did you know which was your favorite sport and that kind of thing? First of all, how did you get started in sports?
I guess when I was younger, I was always active, running around, I would have to say that my dad had a lot to do with it, influencing me. But when I started playing, I mean, you just get lost in the moment, And that's, I started to realize that sports was a way for me to be able to express myself, If I was upset, if I had a hard day, I could always just, grab a basketball and dribble for hours, It was just my time for me to collect myself. And, as I started to do it and continue to do it, I just got better at it.
Now, did you ever view yourself as someone that was above average in sports, or was that something that to you was like you didn't understand what the big deal was about as far as what you were able to do in sports?
Yeah, to me it was, I was just playing, I was just having fun, I was listening to the coaches and the people that were telling me, the things to work on. And like I said, it was just, it's based a lot off emotion. Anytime I get on the field, whether it's just a pickup game or, it's for competitive reasons, I go 100%, and I don't like to lose. I don't like to make mistakes, and it's just, like I said, it was just something that kind of just happened, was I really thinking about what my future could be when I was younger? No, not at all. I was out there having fun, and I was just playing the game. And, after a while, you get to a certain age where some players play better than others and some mature faster or not. And, You know, I let everybody else talk about that. I don't really like to, you know, talk about how I play. It's just something I did, you know. It's just fun.
Oh, what? You don't like to brag about yourself?
No, I wouldn't say I don't like to brag about myself. By all means, you know, I'm one to talk a lot. You know, I got a big mouth. But, you know, when people ask me questions, you know, about, you know, whether I think I'm good or not, you know, I'd like to just perform and let everybody else, you know, have their own opinions.
Really? And that's very interesting, because I know for a couple of us around here, we love to chat up ourselves, and I just...
Oh, yeah, they attaboy. Look at me, I'm so good.
You know what, though, in all reality, when I'm with my family, when I'm with the people who know how I am, I talk all the time. You know, I'm always ranting and raving and joking, you know, but you know,
uh-huh.
You have to get out to other people. You don't want to give the wrong impression. You know, you want to be confident. You don't want to be cocky.
That's true. That is very true.
Now, Jose, I know that you come from a blended family, so you have you grew up with seven boys, six other boys, and two girls, your sisters. Do you think that, I know a lot of people talk about the negative effects of coming from a large family or from a blended family. Do you think the fact that you had older brothers and an older sister and then the younger siblings, do you think that helped you to be better at what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're at the age I am, you know, you get easily influenced. And obviously, as you start to grow up, you know, you become more and more like the people around you. So I had a lot of athletes, as you know, everybody was an athlete. Everybody had their thing, you know. And, you know, being kind of in the middle towards the bottom of the barrel, I kind of picked up what I liked from everything, you know. I picked up a little from here, a little from there, and I went off with it. And, you know, that's why I can do a lot of the things that I can do is because of the people that were around me, because of my brothers and sisters.
And that is awesome that you can pick up that stuff.
Now, one of the things that our listeners might not know is that you actually not only play baseball, but you actually got to play baseball with your sister on a team, which was kind of like really weird because of the fact that, well, your sister was the only girl that tried out. She actually got drafted into this team. But could you share a little bit about us what it was like to play with your sister and the fact that, well, I mean, she was a decent player. How did the dynamics play out with having your older sister on the same baseball team as you?
Well, I actually played with her on two different teams. I played with her when I was younger, and that was when I was less developed, so I had to carry the fact that she was a little better than me at the time.
We're going to talk about
sister,
family?
My sister, you know, she was a little better than I was. But the second time I actually got to play with her was, I believe I want to say we were in high school. She had played softball. We played together on a summer team, and it was amazing. You know, like for me to be playing shortstop and her playing second base, it was something that, you know, you only dream of. You know, like it's like how can you really think that you're gonna be out playing a competitive sport, you know, with your sister, you know, your kid sister standing right there next to you, and you guys are on the field, and she had just as much fierce in her eyes as I did. You know, so it was awesome. It was a good time. It was fun.
Yeah,
and
the funny thing is. Yeah, and I remember one time that one of the coaches was actually complaining about something. You know, he was saying something about very upset, obviously, because they lost. But the funny thing is that the league they were playing in was Babe Ruth, 16 to 18-year-olds. And I thought it was hysterical when someone said to the other coach, okay, you're upset because you got beat by a 13-year-old and his sister. Because at that time, I think you were like 13 or 14 years old, and you'd already been drafted into the Babe Ruth league. And your sister, who's like 5 feet soaking wet, I think she weighs like 90 pounds, if that, back then. It was just phenomenal to see the caliber of play. And I know a lot of people get to play with their sisters in lower levels, but this is a competitive league. This wasn't something where you paid money and you automatically got on. You had to try out and you had to be able to. So, yeah, it was a great experience for you. Now, what do you think that has affected your mindset as far as what women can or cannot do?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, like, to see my sisters and the things that they can do, I laugh at people, you know, when people say things like, oh, you know, women should just be cooking and cleaning and taking care of children. And, you know, it's like I laugh because I look at my sisters and I'm like, they've done even more than I have, you know. It's absolutely insane. Like, people, to hang out with my sisters like that and to see my sisters and to see the ability that they've had, has definitely helped me mature as a young kid. Because, you know, obviously as a young kid, you grow up and you're like, oh, you're a girl. You can't play with us. You stink, you know. And then as you start to grow up and mature, you start to realize, hey, wait a minute. Like, this girl's kicking my butt right now, you know. So, you know, it definitely affected the way I viewed women and how I realized that, you know, the women can definitely do a lot more than America, you know, sets them out to do.
And I was just going to ask that ask a question now, is with you having a large family like you do, and I know the family, is how is it to have other siblings do this? Well, basically, the question was answered, but how is it to do other things with the brothers, sisters in the family? Not only to play sports, but to go out places.
Oh man, it was crazy. I mean, I have to give 100% like props to my father and mother. Like to now you got to imagine this. All right, this is hard to imagine. A lot of people can't grasp this. You have to imagine there are 9 of us because we had an adopted kid at the time too. So not only were there 8 of us, but there was an adopted kid too. You got to imagine taking a family like that out to eat somewhere. You know. Hey, let's say you want to go to the 99, you know, like, are you kidding me? You're talking about dropping almost $300 for everybody to eat, you know, plus it's like taking a team, you know, it's like taking a basketball team out for dinner, you know, and that's every night, that's every day, you know,
right.
So, you know, having so many people around, it was never nothing going on, you understand what I'm saying, like, there was always something going on. You could always go upstairs and hang out with this one or go do this one. So it was great for us, you know, to grow up because we became so close, you know, especially, you know, there was a long period of time where we were all living under the same roof. And that was a story in itself. But, you know, like it's great to have them around, you know.
Right. But I see that. It's just I like to also just make sure we can get plugs in everywhere. And that's why one of my questions is how is it now compared to then, as well as having the artist in the family that there are?
Now it's a little different, you know. We're all at the age where we now pursue, you know, what our thing was. You know, each of us had something that we were great at. You know, we were good at a lot of things, but we each have something that we're great at. And, you know, now everybody's taking off to capitalize on that, so a little tough not having everybody around, but we stay in touch, you know. We talk all the time, and when we get together, it's like we never left.
Yeah, because I see here in the notes that you're also a rapper and you've done some talent.
Yeah, that's my older brother's thing. I decided to pick it up. It was something that I used, you know, to bond with them and just. Happened to be that I was pretty good at it, you know, so we put out a couple songs. They did a CD. They actually made a CD and distributed it. The things I always did were mixtapes, you know, stuff to hand out to the city, and a lot of people in Lowell know who I am and online.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
On that note, that was perfect of Mountman to ask that question. On that note, I actually have one of your songs here that I'd like to play for our listeners, because I thought it was pretty good. Actually, it's one of my favorite that I put, so I'm going to play it now.
If she can get it to work.
Yes. No, actually, I've been doing pretty good. So, Mountman, if you can pause our guest so he can actually hear what's going on, and then I will play the song. Our listeners, this is called Legendary, and it's by the Cardiac Sacrifice Situ, and actually we got the sister in here too, Jess. She's doing one of the hooks, so for your enjoyment, Legendary.
Never talk trash, always kept it hoods, never cross. tabs through all that with only minor drawbacks. Now it's my time to shine, cause I'm ready. Flows focused, aimed and steady. Waiting for the levee to break. A heavy mistake to let my mind flow through the gate. I unload on my foes, call me Stitch to the Great. Bruce Lace, now I'm fixed to escape. Jack Sparrow when the barrel starts sniffing my face. Never ever hesitate when you ask who the real is. It's that C dot, the P dot that's doing it real big. When they mention the best, I kill songs, I'm ill, I'm built strong. I'm above most these rappers, I'm standing with still song. They see me still here and they ask if he's still on. Without a question, he's a legend, the skills are still strong. Need the boost to make it better, I can better the booth. I better other soldiers in the field like medical troops. I better the youth, the proof, I could never be you. I see my future real clear like I'm ahead of the truth. I'm so dope, they get addicted to me. So I don't write rhymes, I have to go prescription or free. I keep it hot, every drop, by any means necessary. You might be good, but consider me legendary.
Go, say what you want. Corporate, we saw your witness in a legend in the making. Go, say what you want. Corporate, we saw your witness in a legend in the making.
Wow, now that was Legendary by Cardiac, Sacrifice, Situ, and Jessica singing on the hook. Amazing, amazing. Now, Jose, what do you feel when you actually get to hear a song like this and you actually got to do with your brothers and your sister?
It was awesome. It was an amazing experience, you know. Me and my brothers always hit the studio. That's a way of us, you know, getting a chance to get away from everyone and do, you know, what we love. So, you know, I always hang out in the studio with my brothers. Having my sister there was probably the best part about it all because, you know, it was the first time that we had done a song with everybody that, you know, did things musically in the family. And, in my opinion, she made that song, you know. We definitely do what we have to do and we definitely rapped, you know, and she came in and added the singing sensation, you know, came in and set the tempo for us, and it was just exciting, you know, it was awesome.
Now, I have to ask a question, because I'm sorry not to interrupt you, man, but a lot of times people wind up performing songs that other people wrote. Who actually wrote this song?
The song that we listened to, what do you mean?
The one, Legendary, the one that you performed. Who wrote it?
That was actually me. I actually did that. I heard the beat, and it was a beat that was weird because I got it from my brother Sacrifice, and he had overlooked it. He was doing his own project, and Cardiac was doing his own project, so I figured, you know, in the mix-up, I grabbed some beats, and I started to work on things myself. Once I heard the song, the beat, actually, I knew it needed to be something a little different than what we usually do, you know, and I wanted us to take a time and and really come with our hardest and our best so that, you know, we could set a statement, you know, because like it says, it's legendary. You know, we don't do it just because we want people to hear it. Like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it so we can be the best at it.
That's awesome, yep. And by the way, that actually happens to be one of our most requested songs that we use when we do the intro. It's one of the ones that people constantly ask me, where did you get it? Who is it? I want a copy of it.
Exactly, because it's just got that beat.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's just got that pick up and go beat. You haven't heard it before, so it's just like, hey, it's a nice piece that is always there in. And it makes you think.
Right. Now, going on that is that this is a song that's real good and whatever, but this isn't your primary vocation in life. You're actually your primary, you did all these sports and then you kind of dwindle it down to actually baseball. That's what you're concentrating on. So what are you doing right now as far as baseball is concerned?
Right now I'm playing at Suffolk University. This is my third season at Suffolk. I'm senior coming up, so this will be my final season. And, you know, this year we'll be defending the GNAT conference, which we won last year. And, you know, I'm really excited. We got a new group of guys. We graduated a lot of seniors last year, but, you know, we're coming back. And if everything goes well, we should be better than we were last year.
Absolutely. Now, I want to share with our listeners because it's, you know, people, like, you're so humble sometimes, it's kind of funny. Oh, yeah, this is my third year at Suffolk. There's actually a story to how you got to actually be able to play baseball at the college level. It wasn't something that just fell into your lap. You want to share a little bit about what you had to do to actually get yourself to that level?
Oh, man. Well, something I learned fast, you know, as a freshman, was that everybody at the college level who tries out for the team and who goes out for the team, everybody has talent. You know, everybody has that natural God-given talent. You know, in order to play at the next level, college, you know, whatever division it is, it's how you take the technique and your hard work behind it, you know. Because, like I said, everybody, when you show up, you know, to a college tryout, everybody has, you know, everybody's pretty good, you know. And it's how you dictate, you know, the difference between the guys who are going to be able to come on and make a difference, you know. And a lot of it has to do with technique. A lot of it has to do with strength and conditioning. But I actually got turned down from a school, in Miami,
mm-hmm.
not for any reasons of my own, you know, some other reasons, but, you know, that's where I really learned how to go about, you know, practicing and playing the sport of baseball. You know, before, you know, I moved down there, everything was very natural talent, you know, like my talent got me through. You know, nobody really ever challenged me to be to be mentally tough, or nobody ever challenged me to go out there and work on my technique on my own or get stronger. So when I went out to Miami, it was an eye-opener, you know. It gave me a chance to see where I was at. And then from there, I just took on the hard work ethic, you know, work hard and hustle, but always give the glory to God.
Now, that's an excellent philosophy to have, because in reality, you could have just basically said, okay, you know what, I did really well at the high school level, which, to share with our listeners, you actually still hold a couple of records at your old school. You did get a lot of exposure for someone as young as you were at that time. So it would have been very easy for suddenly to say, okay, the bubble burst, I'm not as good as I thought. I mean, that would be the logical negative thoughts that some people have. And say, okay, that's it, it's not for me. But you actually dug down deep. Now, what did you actually do mentally to prepare yourself to say, this isn't going to be the end for me? I can definitely still do it. I'm going to make it happen. What are some of the things that you went through to be able to make it happen, to realize your dream of playing baseball at the college level?
Well, when I went down and I played, I got to figure out where I was, you know, talent-wise. And, you know, the head coach at the university that I had tried out for, he let me know that my talent level was, you know, exactly where I needed to be to play in that, but that, you know, my technique, and I was a little skinnier, and I needed to, you know, get my strength and conditioning up and more of my technique. So his words there inspired me, because I understood how important it was for me, you know, as a personal goal, as a life goal, to play collegiate baseball. So I did exactly what he told me. You know, he told me to work on my technique every day. He told me to get stronger. So for exactly a year from the day that I got cut on that tryout all the way until the very next tryout, I worked on my conditioning on my own. Every day that they practiced, I was practicing on the field right next to them, doing my own thing, you know, picking up balls off the ground, throwing it and going to get it myself. Like, basically working on every technique that I could possibly work on, so that when I had that opportunity to face that coach again, I could tell him, told you so. So that's really where it came from.
Now, how did you wind up going from Miami to Suffolk University?
Well, after that tryout, after I worked hard and I did everything that I needed to do, I went back for a tryout, did amazing at the tryout, my personal best tryout ever of all the, you know, the professionals, all the different tryouts I've tried out at, was my hands-down best tryout ever. You know, the coach was impressed, you know, for whatever reason, you know, his scholarships were going to the guys to the positions that I played. So it wouldn't be logical for him to pick me up and play me when he just threw $30,000 at a kid, you know, for a scholarship. So after that, I got a little discouraged. I played semi-pro baseball down at Miami for a lot of their superstars. After that, I realized that I still had my lifelong goal, you know, something that I told myself I was going to do before I died was play collegiate baseball, you know, and I knew I could do it. So, you know, I made a couple calls. And I actually got a coach from Boston area who remembered, you know, the things that I had accomplished in high school and stuff like that, and found out that I wasn't playing and that, you know, I was looking to play at another school, gave me a call immediately and told me to come down. I went to the school. I really loved the school, the location, and away we went.
Now, wow. I have to ask you a question, because a lot of people would say, well, you know, if you're really interested in playing baseball, whether at the professional level or whatever, you're already in the league with the semi-professionals and there's all these scouts and everybody. What made you take a step back and have that goal where you wanted to play college ball? Why was it so important to you?
To me, the problem with me at the time was that I've been young, but I've always, as you know, I've always played with people older than me. I was always 2 years ahead of where I should have been playing, you know. So when I went out there and I was playing the semi-pro and we had the scouts coming out and looking at us, guys were trying to sign us for division independent ball, other guys were trying to get us to go to top 99 workouts, and you know, all that stuff was great, but it's still there, you know what I mean? Like, I needed to do this for myself. I told myself that I was going to play collegiate baseball as a kid, you know, so there was something that I absolutely had to do for me to feel complete. So, you know, I made the move back, you know, to Boston. I'm playing baseball. I'm doing well. You know, our school's doing amazing. And once I graduate, now you can go back. You understand what I'm saying? Like, now I can go back to Florida, pick up where I left off. Now I'm older. I'm more mature. I have more experience under my belt. You know, I'm more mentally tough now than I was, you know, 3 years ago when I was playing with those guys, you know. So now I feel like now I'm ready for whatever, you know, whatever baseball has to throw at me.
You know, and it's funny, too, because a lot of people get so caught up in their dreams, and this is the gist of our show, not letting anybody take your dreams away, but one of the things that we sometimes forget because we're so caught up in the moment, kind of like the movie Rudy, where Rudy was just so caught up in wanting to play football for Notre Dame that he totally lost track of the big picture, and the big picture was he was graduating with a degree from an Ivy League school. So here in your case, while you focused on baseball and this goal that you had set for yourself, at the same token, you just said it, your maturity level has gone up. You're going to have a degree from a major university. It's opening a lot of doors for you, and the semi-professional is still there. Now, do you have any advice for any kids out there that are listening to you as far as what you just talked about or the road that you've taken? What suggestions would you have?
I was just going to ask this same question in not that particular way, but how would you motivate other people as well?
Well, me personally, everybody has their own key for motivation, you know. For me, you know, somebody telling me I couldn't do something motivated me to just prove them wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. So other people, you know, everybody has their own motivation. My only advice I would have to give is don't feed into what other people say. You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, I had to learn that after a certain age, you know, politics come into play. You know, who does what, who donates what to who, and stuff like that. The natural game of baseball leaves, you know, once you hit a certain level. And that's where the mental toughness comes in. Because you have to know in your mind and in your heart, you know what, this guy just told me that I wasn't good enough to play. But the guy that, you know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. you have to be able to be mentally tough enough to get knocked down and then get back up, because everybody and anybody in the professional leagues and any sport has never gone always doing great. You know, somewhere down the line they flustered, somewhere down the line they messed up, and they got knocked down, and they had to get back up. And that's really how you define people and their characters. What happens when they're in the face of adversity? You know, like when you get knocked down, are you gonna get back up and prove that? You know, prove that you're strong enough to do what you said you were going to do, or are you just going to stay down and just accept what other people have to say to you, you know? And to me, that would be the number one key, is that no matter what happens, no matter what people say to you, in your heart you know. You know, in your heart you know how you are, or whether you're capable of doing what they're asking you to do. And as long as in your heart you truly believe you can do it, don't ever stop trying.
Now, that's exactly. Very powerful words, because some of our listeners who might not know your whole story saying, okay, well, you know, this kid has supportive parents, supportive family, but there still were the challenges that, you know, you hear the excuses, okay, you come from a family of divorce, you went through challenges, you come from a blended family, you know, you lived in an area where it wasn't exactly the best area. I mean, it wasn't crime infested, but by the same token, there was gang issues, there was a lot of stuff. You're a kid that comes from Latino roots, which you might have encountered discrimination. You don't have parents that can write $10,000 check to the association, alumni, or whatever to get you a spot on the team. It's something that you've had to earn. So with that in mind, what do you have to say to people that use any challenges that come into their life as an excuse to not do it?
Don't use them as an excuse. Don't use them as an excuse. Use them as motivation. I mean, in all reality, I am who I am today because I grew up that way. You know, I've done the things that I've done because of my environment, you know. So don't ever look at it as a negative. Embrace it, take it, figure out what you can do positive with it. You know, figure out how you can turn it around. You know, how you can make, how somehow, some way you can make it a positive in your life. You know, and then use that to become a better person and take off with it, you know.
That's excellent advice to be giving to people, because, again, you've lived it, so you know how to. You're kind of going on the other side of the road right now, so you know. Now, I have to ask you, you actually had the experience to go to an actual MLB professional tryout. Can you share that experience with us? Tell us what it was about.
Oh, it was awesome. Well, I went out there. First and foremost, it wasn't what I thought it was. You know, I thought we'd get out there and, you know, we'd be practicing all day and stuff. There's a lot of standing around, you know. you get out there, there's probably, like, anywhere from 100 to 400 kids there. Everybody's, you know, trying to win that one position or catch that coach's eye. So, you know, you line up, you do each thing individually. It was an experience, you know, to get past it. But once you realize that, you know, I was nervous at first. And when I got there and I looked around, I was like, oh, this is nothing. You know, this is what we do practice every day. I actually went. I tried out. I did extremely well. They asked me to stay, because what they do is throughout the tryout, you get cut. You know, like, we'll run, and anybody who doesn't run at a certain time, they have to go. You know, and then we'll do fielding, and anybody who doesn't field well or something like that, they'll have to go. So I actually ended up staying the whole tryout, which lasted about 7 or 8 hours. I didn't get picked up. Obviously, I didn't get signed. But just to sit there and see that, you know, at my position, 150 kids were playing shortstop, and I was one of the last, you know, say, six people playing shortstop. You know, So it was a good experience. It gave me a chance to see where, you know, where I was at. And, you know, now you go back to the drawing board and try again.
Now, that has to be an amazing experience for you. But I would like you to give us a little bit of your insight into it, because you could have very easily talked yourself out of it, because you said you were a little nervous. You could have talked yourself out of it. Okay, I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I'm too this. I'm too whatever. I'm not even going to bother. Yet somehow you did something within yourself to bring yourself and to actually have the experience of being there the whole day, actually realizing that maybe you were a lot better than you really thought, and maybe saying to yourself, okay, maybe I have a chance at this. What did you physically have to do or mentally have to do to yourself, and what did you actually learn from that experience once it was all said and done?
Mentally, it's hard because, you know, when you think about a perfect professional, you know, you watch television and you see Nomar out there, you see A-Rod out there playing short, they're 6'1", 6'3", big guys, knocking balls out of the park, you know, and then, you know, you take a look at yourself and you say, well, physically I don't match up with them, so maybe I'm not that good, you know, and then you see them make some amazing plays, and then you say to yourself, well, maybe I can't make that play. To me, it was really about, it was another goal of mine that I had always had, you know, go out and try out for a team or even make a team, you know, and that's a personal goal of my own too, is to play a professional baseball, you know, which is something I'm going to continue to strive for. But for me, it was something that I needed to do. Mentally, you kind of just gotta suck it up. I mean, trust me, I was nervous driving there. When I got out of the car, I got even more nervous. When I walked in and I saw 400 kids there, I, you know, practically crapped my pants, you know. But you go in there, you assess the situation, you know, you take a deep breath, and then you got to reach inside yourself. And like I said, only you can personally know, can you do this, you know. People can say, oh, you know, I think that you could be a professional, and people can say anything they want. But when you walk in there, it's about how do you personally view the situation. Can you view the situation? Can you assess the fact that, okay, I'm scared out of my mind, but I'm pretty sure that all other 400 kids here are scared just like me, you know, and you
right.
just go about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is just absolutely amazing.
It is. It's amazing to have that attitude, because you have to realize that that's an amazing experience that some people, I mean, you're already in the 10% of it, because 10% of the people, if that, will ever know what it's like to even attempt to try out for a Major League Baseball team, never mind making the cut, when you go from 150 to 6, you know. Not only that, it actually has to gauge to you that this is a few years ago, you didn't have the maturity level, you didn't have the experience, you hadn't played college ball yet at that level. So it has to make you feel good about the fact that you can only get better from now on. Now, what plans do you have in the future? Like, what are you looking forward to? The fact your last year at Suffolk University, what are some of the goals that you have for yourself?
This year, personally, like since it's my senior year and I've been at it for 3 years, naturally, you know, as you know, the longer you're in something, you get better. This year, I, you know, don't want to seem to sound cocky, you know, because I'm not by any means, but I know what I'm capable of doing, and I know the level that I'm playing at. I truly believe to be an all-region player. It's a goal that, you know, that I set for myself, that my coaches set for myself, and, you know, we've been working at it since the end of last season, you know. So I want to be an all-region player of the year for the GNAC, you know, nothing against the guys on my team, but the best player of our division will be coming from Suffolk University, no doubt about it. You know, we worked way too hard. We're way too talented and work way too hard to let any other team take that from us. I'm just, you know, I'm challenging the guys on my team to come and get it, because I plan to get it. So if you want it, you're going to have to come with me and let's get to another level, you know. Let's get to another level and let's help our team win.
Wow.
That's awesome. Now, Jose, you have any hello, shout-outs to anybody you want to give before we wrap the interview?
Oh. Absolutely. Shout out to my family, my friends. Big shout out to the Suffolk University Mutts, anybody who's listening. We're going all the way this year. You know, like I said, we're reclaiming our title. So we got to get that, go to regionals. You know, we're looking to make a run at the World Series this year. So shout out to them, and, you know, shout out to the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, Jose, thank you. This is funny because I get this from all the guests, right, Mountain Man? We always get, what do you mean an hour? I can't talk for an hour. And then it's like all of a sudden the hour goes by and they're like, wow, we're done already. Jose, thank you so much for being on the show. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while because he's just an amazing young man. And hopefully we'll have you back with a couple of your mutts from the team so we can talk a little bit more about baseball and you guys can update us on what's going on. And also the show's actually planning to broadcast live from the tournament that they're going to be going to in March, I believe, is it? The second week in March?
Yep, second week in March.
Second week in March. We're actually getting everything in place. We got the laptop, we got the thing, so we're actually going to broadcast live, do live interviews from the venue. Yeah, Ordinary Woman's bumping it up this time. We actually started with a blog, and this time we're actually going to do some live interviews, broadcast some of the games live to see. So it should be an interesting time, and not hopefully, we're bringing home the hardware. Absolutely, got to clear off the shelf for more hardware from that. So, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your life and everything you've done, and we're definitely looking forward to having you back on the show.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Good night.
So for our listeners, I can't believe how quickly the time just flies by. You guys are just so much fun, and our chat room is like full of people. It's so cool to see you guys growing. I have to share with Mountain Man, we've actually been doing the show for 3 months now.
Really? 3 months?
Yes. 3 months.
And I actually was just looking on the other, not just looking, but before the show had started, I actually looked on the other page, the main page, where we can do all our stuff to the show.
Right.
And I cannot believe our shows, our listeners. I am just absolutely amazed.
I am blown away. Real quick, our chat room, we have Betty 3, Bob, Fred 231, welcome back. Yes, 3016, nice of you to come by. JJ51223, thank you again for coming by. Mary 2231, she's one of our regulars. Media Plus Insider, thank you so much for stopping by. We've got Ray, Rob 32123, welcome back. Sid, one of our regulars, 3209, and Sunny 6578, thank you so much for stopping by. You guys are amazing. Like Mountain Man was saying, our receivership, our listenership actually is growing. You guys are amazing. It just, I'm just blown away. This is something that we've always wanted to do, and we finally said, you know what, let's get off our duff and do it. And the thing that blows me the most, Mountain Man, is the amazing caliber of guests that we keep getting. It just blows my mind.
It just blows my mind, too, because it's like at the beginning of our shows, we, because of the amount of time that it takes to do the show and the information that these guests are putting out there, we have to have them back all the time.
We do, because they just do so much. And that's why I remember at first when we thought about the concept of the show, people were like, ordinary people, who the heck wants to hear that? We want to hear about, you know, the Brad Pitts and the Oprahs. But the reality is there's no such thing as ordinary people, as has been evident by our guests. These are people that consider themselves average people, and they're not. These people.
Exactly. And I have to agree with you, Charlie, because I know I was on the show as a guest some time ago, and since that time, I have appreciated everybody myself, and I have to say kudos to everybody because they've actually helped to motivate me to do the show tonight, because if it wasn't for you, for everybody out there, it wouldn't be a show without you guys. And you guys have the best motivation for us as the host and co-host to be able to come out here every night that we do the show and motivate us to do our shows. So,
it is, and the thing is, it's like the feedback we get, the emails, the fact that we have people that have other shows on Blog Talk Radio that stop by and say hi and listen to our shows. I mean, the support has been amazing. Our guests have been, our listeners, I mean, some of the emails that we get, I mean, our show was only, what, maybe 7 weeks in when you wind up in the hospital, and we got emails, you know, people inquiring about you, how are you doing? It's very humbling. It's very humbling to see what an amazing group of people we have that follow us, and just the support that we're getting is very humbling.
And
that's another thing that I'm grateful for, because I really am floored at how receptive people have been to the show.
Right, and I just want to say thank you to all the listeners who have asked about me, and I know I've only got about a minute to go, but I want to thank you, and all those people who have asked questions, I know Charlie is going to get them to me, and I will be glad to answer any. And there she goes in my ear.
So for our listeners, if you know of any amazing, ordinary, extraordinary people, please hit us up, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled W-M-N. And email us at ordinarywoman13@yahoo.com. You can check the segment pages. The information is there. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you on the show. And, yeah, definitely. So, Mountain Man, thank you so much for being my co-host as usual. And we've got 56 seconds to go. So, remember, everybody, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away. Have a great one, and we will hear from you again on Wednesday. Good night, Mountain Man, and good night to everybody.
Good night, everybody, and have an awesome Motivational Monday.
pacing, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettled, sweat drips my face. Hands tight, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I'm just bracing, I take in the face of adversity. Facing this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. Make the glow.